done your Toro breakdown. Lowest you've ever been with finances, bad decisions, and what you learned from it.
I say it all the time. It's part of my testimony. 2013, I was completely down on my dick, and it was all my fault. I didn't believe in saving. I was young, very brash, very arrogant, very conceited. Didn't believe in saving money. Didn't believe in, you know, planning for the future and stuff like that. But I still wanted the best of everything. At that time, I had a $1,450 a month apartment, which at that time was like, oh, shit, nigga. Like, you was at the top end of the rent. Had a brand new, like a condo style apartment or whatever. I had my Dodge Charger I was paying for. I had another car that I had paid cash for and stuff like that. And just over time, as like, you know, the party industry, and this was all off of party money and stuff. And over time, as the party industry started to be less and less viable and people kind of aged out of going out, and, you know, younger people like Ron and Camaro Rob and all them had a chokehold on their audience or whatever. So they kind of curated where those people went and all of that. My whole operation kind of just like fell apart. And I went from making like $3,000 to $5,000 a week to making like $300 to $500 a week, and it didn't feel good, and I fell on my face in short order, like very, very short order, because every single week it's like, all right, if I got 2 to 3 parties a week, every new party, I gotta buy a new outfit, new kicks, this, and this. I'm paying my bills a little bit ahead, but not as ahead as I should have been when I'm having this money. I'm taking trips, I'm traveling, I'm tricking, and just all of this shit. And it's like, in 2013 was a very humbling experience. I went all the way down, so I was like negative $40,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. And I just fell all on my face. Only thing that prevented me from being homeless was my homegirl, Alicia, that like, I had an on-again, off-again relationship with. She really stepped up for me and was like, yo, like, I believe in you. You smart. You talented. This is, like, what you're going through. That's not who you are. Like, you could at least come stay with me or whatever, whatever, while you figure shit out. And it took me about a year, but I got it all the way together. You know, started, put together a bankroll again, was able to get my club shit back going, went and got a job, worked at ADP for like fucking 9 months. Through that, I was able to fucking have a steady, consistent income where I could live, I could operate, I could give her money for looking out for me and helping me and this, and this. Eventually was able to fucking get a car again because I had ended up giving my car to my ex and shit. That was bad. Like, I was literally out here with nothing. No car, nowhere to live, no savings, no money. Any little bit of money I did make ended up having to go to some back bill or whatever. Oh, they about to repo the car. I need some money. Here go $1,500. So now I'm back down to zero again. I sold my sneaker collection. Like, it didn't get no more down bad than me. Me in 2013 was a wrap. I was fucked off. I was finished.
It's the better what you
I couldn't get no hoes. Like,
I'm trying to be serious. It really upset.
No, it was really bad. I couldn't get no hoes. Like, I would get them on the hook, but I couldn't fold through because I can't even take a chick on a date. Yeah. Like, I fucked myself literally. Like, as bad as you could fuck yourself, I did it.
Yeah.
And I got it all back.
Yeah.
Times 10.
Yeah.
And that's what's important.
Give yourself a clap for that.
Yeah. Man. Not what's more important is not that I fell off, but that I shook back.
I think the lowest for me is not necessarily a financial thing. Because I've been fucked up. I think we all have. I think that's just part of being a human being. There'll be moments where you're just like, what the fuck is going
on? What happened?
I think for me, the lowest was 2013. I weighed about 400. I was about 415, 420 at that moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I'm going to start working out. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to eat a little better. I'm going to meal prep. I'm going to, you know, do the right things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did it, and I started to see results. And if you even look, when we went and did all that shit with the cars, that was April of 2014, because I started this in the end of 13.
Mm-hmm.
And in April 2014, you could see I was like, I came down a little bit. I was cool. You know, I was wearing a different size and pants and, mm-hmm. you know, shirts was a little big on me. I had to get new shirts and shit like that. I had to get new work shirts and shit. 2015, I popped my Achilles. Remember, I was out of work. Mm-hmm. So with me being out of work, I was playing poker every night. Now, that was one thing when somebody asked me about the poker thing, one thing I will say is like, and my man Steve asked me, would I ever make another serious run at poker? I'm like, my biggest thing is I don't know how to play poker dead serious and not be a degenerate. Right. No, I'm being serious. Because it's a degenerate. Like, you know why I respect Daniel Negreanu so much? Is because he's like a vegan. Like, you know, he's one of the best poker players on the planet. Mm-hmm. But he's like a vegan and he's a soccer player and he's super in shape, which doesn't normally coincide with the poker lifestyle. Because poker players by nature are degenerate. You a gambler, you smoking, you drinking, you eating terrible, you up all night. You know,
you keep bad hours.
You got bad habits just by nature. And going through that process and then hitting that wall that I hit at the beginning of 2016, where, you know, I lost everything. I built up a bankroll of like 100K.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had 100K cash.
Yeah, I would see you routinely. You had 17,000, 31,000.
I was running wild.
Yeah.
And I hit that. I never forget it. I fucking felt it out of that fucking, the Philly Poker Open in the manner in which I did. And it just mentally something, I lost it that night. Like, it took me about 8 months to grind up to where I had like 100K in cash.
Mm-hmm.
At any given time, I had the safe built in my truck. I'd have like 30 grand in there. Me and Ryan used to there. Ryan used to just crack up like, yo, you really just ride around with all this because I'm playing poker at all these different places. Like, I was running. And I remember the most cash I ever had at one time, I had like $114,000, like 114K in cash. And this is like, to me, where I come from, like, what Push say? Half a million.
20 is like a billion where I'm from. Like,
I'm a millionaire as far as I'm concerned. And I lost 17 grand that night. And I didn't have enough wherewithal to just be like, yo, stop. Just be like,
take a break.
I lost 17 grand that night that I've got felted out of that tournament. I was on complete tilt and no one was around. Like, there was just no one to stop me that night in the casino. I went fucking hog wild.
Yeah.
And losing 17 grand in a night is not normal for me. And like, it was just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I was just like, what the fuck? And we ain't, like, the way everybody now is like, 17 grand ain't shit. No, this was 2015 when everybody was normal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Before everybody got fried.
Seriously. I was still working at SEPTA. You know what I'm saying? Like, and still actively, like, going to work and shit like that. And I just started fucking, and it was like, I just couldn't catch a break. I just couldn't catch a break. And I watched that 114 go from 114 to 98 to 90 to 84 to 72 to 63 to 50 to 44 to where I got to where I had like 30K. And I'm just like, you start scrambling. You start doing dumb shit. I walked in a casino one day and put $5,000 on a blackjack table. Like,
oh,
I'm about to run this shit back up real quick. And I lost that shit in like fucking 20 minutes. Comps was through the roof. That's how I was diamond and getting all the rooms and shit. My comps was through the roof.
Comps was through the roof.
And I lost all that shit. Like, it went down to zero.
Yeah.
And that set me on a track of, like, depression. And me and Lee got to a real nasty place because I didn't want to be touched. I didn't want to be bothered. I got real, real, like, depressed. I was smoking. I was smoking cigarettes. I was drinking and shit. Like, drinking, like, I never drink. Like, I was buying bottles of liquor and shit and eating crazy and just going through like just the motions of it all. Lee went to her mom. Like, it was just a weird time period. Yeah. And I had lost, mind you, man, I told you at the beginning of this, I was about 415 and I came down to about 370, 360. Mm-hmm. I was around that. Like, I lost like 50, 60 pounds, was doing good. I'd gained all that weight back plus another 100.
Yeah.
To the point where I looked at the joint, I was 517 in my heaviest. And looking back at it now, I just question, like, what the fuck, man? Like, I'll be honest with you. I see pictures of myself, I'm unrecognizable. Like, my face don't even look, I look like I was, like, sick. I was just like, yo, what the fuck? And I got to 517 pounds, and they put me on blood pressure medicine. I went to the cardiologist. They told me I had cardiomyopathy because the bottom of my heart wasn't beating right. I had sleep apnea. Lee was like, you snore louder than you've ever snored in your fucking life. Yeah. And it was just a very, like, when I actually sat with it and dealt with it, and I went to therapy and I started talking about everything with my mom and just everything that I didn't even realize I was coping with a lot of shit that I just never really wanted to deal with.
Yeah.
And like you say, I lost all that shit and I climbed the fuck back out of it. And it's just like, you know, I remember when I got to 360 weight wise and I thought I was like good. And it's crazy because I got on the scale the other day, I'm 282. Like, I lost a whole nother 100 pounds in there. And I've actually gained weight back putting on muscle.
Right.
Like, I was down to 270 at one point. Haven't had a blood pressure pill in almost 4 years. Sleep apnea gone. Lee's like, yeah, you don't snore at all. Like, you don't snore ever. Like, sleep apnea completely gone.
Yeah.
Cardiomyopathy completely gone. No blood pressure medicine. My joints don't be fucking bothering me. I can run all fuck. I can run up steps and shit. Like, that was the, like, 2016, that was a weird, weird. And even when I look back and when we, that was when we first started the podcast. When I look at those videos, I'm like, yo, what the fuck? When I look at them pictures, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, yo. And yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, hitting the bottom will really, really make you, like, respect the top.
Yeah.
In whatever the fuck you're going through. And life is all about transitionals and keeping it the fuck moving. One thing, shout out JR, you know what I'm saying? I hope you hear this dude where I'm fucking with this John now. Like, he was saying that shit. We was having a conversation this morning. He was like, yo, one thing I've realized about life, man, it's like, because we was talking about sports betting. He's like, you'll think you won a game, and that shit will go left. He's like, a nigga was telling me about, he's like, yeah, so I had money on the Senators. I'm like, who the fuck are the hockey team? He's like, yeah, man, you know, niggas, they betting on anything. He's like, yeah, no, I had money on the Senators. They was up 5-2 with 2 minutes left. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm winning this shit. He's like, man, do you know the motherfuckers came back, tied that shit up? That shit went to overtime, and they lost in the shootout. I'm like, he's like, so I look at that shit the same way I look at life. Like, until that shit say
zero. It ain't
zero,
over till it's over.
Until that shit say zero. It ain't over. You might be thinking, like, your shit is over and this shit is never going to turn the fuck around. But if you alive, you got a shot, nigga. And that's one thing I've just learned and just understand, to where it's like, it kind of puts you in the Vinny Chase attitude, where it's like, it'll work itself out.
Exactly.
Because I've seen motherfuckers be homeless and then be Grammy Award winning artists. Why the fuck you ain't die when you was homeless? It's because you were supposed to go through that to make that music. That's why. You were supposed to go through that to be able to create this. You were supposed to go through that to be able to do this. And that's the dope part about this podcast. It's like, it's some shit we was able to create through us going through, to where we can come on here and have these conversations about our trials and tribulations and being able to express, yo, I be hard pressed because I'm going to keep it a buck with you. And I'm a big nigga. I don't know many people who weigh more than 500 pounds. In fact, in my life, I've met three of them.
Yeah.
Three of them. Them niggas y'all be thinking big, that be like the big nigga from the, like, on the gram. That nigga might weigh 380 pounds. He might weigh 415. At his heaviest, at like, because he's short, or because he not that big, he don't got much muscle. I'm telling you, I'm a big nigga who been shopping in Tories my whole motherfucking life. I've met three people that weighed more than 500 pounds. Because once you get to that point, you start to become an anomaly. You know how much of an anomaly you become? You get to 600, there's a television show about it. Like, it's not normal. I've literally met three people I know who weigh 500 pounds. So I'm telling you, motherfuckers be like, yeah, man, I'm overweight. I weigh 320. You can get there.
Yeah.
Trust me, because I was 517 and I got there. And I don't even know if I was heavier than, I remember seeing that on a scale, though.
You know, that's a verifiable number.
And I remember seeing that shit like how exactly. And that's what, like, I tried, because, you know, 600 pound life is designed to be funny in a weird way.
Yeah.
And, you know, people make jokes about it and all that shit. But I watch it with a different lens because I've been there.
Yeah.
I remember getting, like, where they get on the scale and they're, like, shocked when they see the number. I did the same shit. No, ain't no, this shit right? Ain't no way. But then you like, no, I might be 517 because I can't get the fuck up the way I want to.
Right.
I can't, if I lay down, I might need help getting up out this motherfucker. If I sit too long, I might need help getting up with this motherfucker. If I see a flight of steps, I'm not fucking with it. I keep it a buck with you. Some shit I don't think I ever said. I remember going to my depot. And my depot is one of them depots where when you come in the front door, it's two big flights of steps. Oh, I swear to God, yo. I remember walking in and our elevator was down. And I called out of work.
Damn.
Like, real shit. Like, I couldn't go up them fucking steps. I swear to God, yo, I was there. So it's like, being able to turn your shit around is always, I didn't mean to, like, you know, get.
Yeah,
like,
no, you good, bro.
But I remember that shit where I just was like, I'm going to fuck home.
Yeah.
Like, and man, like, that shit is scary to be like that. I'm telling you, like, and something in me just like clicked. Like, I remember when I had the surgery, it was like they told me, like, yo, it's a 5% chance of success. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of odds is that? Like, right. I'm like, this is nuts. 5%? And I just was like, well, I'm gonna be in the fucking 5% then. Fuck right. it. I don't give a fuck. Because it's like, I don't want to go through this shit again. I don't want to be in this position again. And man, like, that shit, it like, it's almost like amazing to be at this point where we are, like, because it's like, yo, you really be feeling like, man, this shit just need to go ahead and end.
Right.
Seriously, when you down, you dead ass be feeling like, man, why don't they just come on, get this shit over with? And then when you start to turn around and you start to get it back, like you said, you start climbing out that hole and you just like, oh shit, this shit is like, it's fun.
Yeah.
I remember them first couple days going in the gym, and I felt so out of place and so in the way. And that's why I try to talk to people. People hit me up all the time now about that shit. Like, you know, the anxiety, gym anxiety and all that shit. I remember going in the gym and just feeling like, yo, like, everybody's looking at me and I'm not supposed to be in here. Yeah. Like, this is crazy. To the point where, like, I'm the nigga in the gym now.
Right.
Motherfuckers come in, they make it a point to come over and fist bump me and shit, because I'm in there every fucking day. And it's like, it's all about will. And that's why I look at, like, this dump truck shit, this podcast shit, ride with sports betting, them niggas with fucking being lawyers, whatever the fuck it is you want, it's all about will. If you decide, man, fuck that, I'm turning this shit around,
you can do it.
Ain't no names. There's literally nothing that can stand in front of you. It's all on you. And, you know, it's wild, because I think back on that shit where I'm just like, it's a lot of little shit that I just, like, remember. And I at times, I don't think about it till I'm thinking about it right there.
Yeah.
Just because my life is so different right now. Like, literally, the other day, I was waiting for the elevator. And the shit came down and went past me. And I just was like, man, fuck it. And I just came through the joint. And
took the steps.
8 flights of fucking steps. Yeah. Like, just like, fuck it. I'm not waiting for this shit. And I got to the top, and I'm just like, damn. Because I dead ass remember chalking bread one day.
Right.
Like, man, fuck it. I can't, man. Fuck this shit. I'm going to fuck
home. They playing games. I'm out of here. They playing
games, and it's your fucking elevator down for. That shit real. And, you know, I ain't mean to go so long-winded or whatever. No, but like,
good, bro.
With that weight shit, because I was in such, like, a dire place with it, I understand it where it's like, I know for a fact people are afraid to talk about it and afraid to talk about, sure. Like, their trials and the tribulations of being that heavy and carrying that much weight. But I'll never do it, just because I know it's kind of like embarrassing to people and shit, and they don't want to have them conversations or whatever. But trust me, I know. I 100% know every single thing you feel, you go through, you might be experiencing, you might have anxiety of this or like, it's crazy, but something I don't do no more that I used to do all the time was chair check when I walked in the rooms. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, when we went to the Revolt Summit, I came right up to David. He was like, yeah, you can sit right here in the front row. I'm like, okay. I came in and sat down. But old me would have done a check of the room. Like, all right, what are the strongest chairs? Because those look stronger than them. But these look stronger than them. So if I can get one of these, cool. But right. If I can't, I'll sit in one of those. But if those all get taken up, I might just stand, because I don't know how them Jones. Like, I used to do shit like that. Like, come into a room and dead ass have to, like, survey where am I going to sit if I need to get out. Like, you know what used to be scary as shit to me? Walking into a tight restaurant where you got to, like, navigate through tables. I used to, like, almost, like, man, like I would, like, drive myself crazy. So it's like, yo, trust and believe me, all of that shit kind of went out the window now. And the craziest part is I still kind of do it at times, just because of like a
reflex
almost. And when I catch myself doing it, I be like, I don't got to do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and it's not because of, and that was what pissed me off so much when like people started making little weird comments about a weight loss surgery. And it'd be like, you don't understand. Like, when you have a weight loss surgery, that means you are literally like, if this don't happen, I don't know.
Yeah, it might be over after this.
You know what I mean? And understand that shit is a lot of hard work, because I've seen a lot of people have them surgeries and go right back into what the fuck they was doing before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it's a mindset thing.
Yeah.
And if you don't change the mindset and your day-to-day habits, then you're gonna fall back into the same shit that you was already doing. It's like, all right, well, you just got a smaller stomach, but you still engaging in the wrong shit, and you're going to undo the positive effect that it's supposed to have on you.
Real shit, man. So, yeah, no, that was a good ending. You know what I'm saying? Talking about our shit, because it's relative. Everybody's going through it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I think money and self-image is always something that people are going to feel some type of way about or have anxieties about or whatever, whatever. And, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I want to do an actual show, like, on the main feed where I, like, because people have been asking me about the shit, talking about the pros, the cons, the good, the bad, and the ugly to weight loss surgery.
Yeah.
Because it's something that's just prevalent in the society and culture. And I think we're going to do that pretty soon. Like, okay. We can do, like, a real deep dive into, because it's a lot that people just, they don't know. It's crazy because we were cleaning the other day. And I pulled out the booklet that you get when you first have it. And I'm, like, reading through the shit. And I'm just like, damn, yo, I'm so removed from it. But I'm just like, I can really remember what it was like that first week, the second week, the third week, you know, where you was getting back into the flow of this, what your body feels mm-hmm. like, what you feel like internally. You know, like, a lot of people don't. It's just a lot. It's a lot to go into it. Yeah. But I definitely want to give, like, a full breakdown to that. So we can do that on the main show one of these days.
For sure.
Yeah.
As usual, man, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for rocking with us yet again on another month of Patreon. Hope to see y'all all back here next month. If you haven't already, make sure y'all grab y'all tickets for the live show before the weekend is over. The exclusive window closes 8 a.m. on Monday. Then they're going to go to the general population for them to be able to buy whatever tickets they want to buy out of what's left from the Patreon slate. All of our supporters, our listeners in, you know, Chicago, in the Ohio's, in New York, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, wherever you at. Pull up on us, man. Let's make this a party, a celebration. Let's make this a big deal and a thing. We giving y'all way more than enough advance notice. No last minute shit. You know what I'm saying? No excuses, man. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We thank y'all for rocking out with us each and every time. Y'all want to help?